Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to our Thanksgiving Day edition of Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and for those of you taking time away from feasting and football on this great day of thanks and celebration of the USA, we're glad you're with us as we present part one of the New Covenant. The New Covenant is, without doubt or question, the primary focus of this Basic Gospel ministry. In the fullness of Christ Jesus our Lord is everything we need for life and godliness. And that's the reason we present to you on this Thanksgiving Day and tomorrow, of course, our Friday edition, parts 1 and 2 of the New Covenant. Now with part 1, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When we talk about New Covenant living, when we talk about New Covenant, the word that comes to my mind is a journey, that we've started on a new journey. And I love that word journey.
Sure.
I love to travel.
Yeah.
We've been to Israel numerous times, and it's a journey through the Holy Land, through Israel, and walking where Jesus walked, and seeing where miracles occurred, and seeing where he walked on the water of the Sea of Galilee, and seeing the place that, in Jerusalem where they think he may have died and was buried and raised back to life. And it is just a fascinating journey. But the fact of the matter is all of us are on a journey. Every single person is on a journey. The question is this: where will your journey take you? And as I think about our ministry, I see that this program is actually an invitation to our listeners to take a new covenant journey to life and freedom. It's a journey that begins and ends with Jesus. He is the gateway to grace. We were bound up in law. We were bound up by rules and regulations. We were judged, condemned. We felt guilty. We experienced guilt. We experienced fear. All of those sort of things. But when we come to Jesus, that journey ends and we start on a new one. This journey begins and ends with Jesus. He's the great way to grace. As he said to his disciples, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." All of our needs will be met in Jesus Christ. Now, one of the things that we learn when we walk through life trusting Jesus Christ, we begin to experience an amazing adventure. I mean, just think about it. Christ Jesus has come to live inside of you. He's leading you every single day by his Spirit. And every morning when you wake up, you have the wonderful opportunity and privilege to say, "Lord, where are you going to take me today?" And I guarantee you it will be the most exciting adventure that you've ever been on. So with each step of this journey, with each step of trusting Jesus Christ, here's what happens. You discover more of the riches of God's love and grace, and you're able to participate more deeply in the abundant life of Jesus Christ. That's why we're so stoked about talking about the New Covenant. I mean,
yeah,
it's just a message that just we're passionate about because we know how it's changed us. We're different because of what Christ has done in this New Covenant, and we want you to experience that abundant life in him as well. Now, this New Covenant journey, Paul talks a lot about it in his writings. The book of Hebrews talks a lot about the New Covenant. And here's what Paul had to say. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul was a law guy. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah.
And according to legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. He thought he was living up to those Ten Commandments and the 613 other laws that were on the books of the Mosaic Covenant. He thought he was faultless in regard to that. And when Jesus came on the scene and he saw people abandoning the Jewish way of life and picking up this new life in Christ, he was irritated. It angered him. He was downright mad, so much so that he was provoked to action. He stood there as Stephen was stoned, and he condoned that action. And after that took place, and Stephen breathed his last breath, he went to the leaders and said, "Give me letters granting me authority to grab every Jewish Christian believer there is and drag them down to Jerusalem and put them on trial and persecute them." And off he went to Damascus to do that. He was defending the law, defending the Jewish way of life. And then he met Jesus, and everything changed. It was a 180 right then and there. Paul learned the purpose of the law. It wasn't for him to be made righteous. It wasn't for him to be made right to God. He realized the law couldn't impart life. The law was there to judge, to condemn, and to show death. And when Paul got it, he let go of the law so that he could live for God. The law brought death, but the Spirit brought life. And so as God sent him out to take this message to the Gentile world, God equipped him, made him competent as a minister of this new covenant. So when Paul went to Corinth or Philippi or Thessaloniki or any of those cities, he was bringing a message of life. He was saying to the folks, you're dead, but Jesus can make you alive. That's what this new covenant is all about. So when we talk about the new covenant, we're talking about the message that encompasses the completeness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This new covenant is all about Jesus. It's what the prophets of old were pointing forward to. When Moses wrote, when Jeremiah wrote, when Isaiah wrote, when David wrote in the Psalms, when all of these prophets of old wrote, they had an eye to the future, to a person who was going to come, his name, Jesus Christ. So this new covenant encompasses the complete message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It talks about the person of Jesus Christ. Who is he? And we learn that in this new covenant. We learn that he's our high priest, that he is God in the flesh, that he became one of us and tasted death for us. We learn all of those things about the person of Jesus Christ, what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what this new covenant message is all about. Jesus' work through his death, burial, and resurrection. His death ended the old. That was the final act of the old covenant play. The curtain was lowered on the third day. A new curtain was lifted. It was new life in Christ brought about by resurrection. His work in us today. Jesus was raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He was given the Spirit. He gave the Spirit to us, and now Jesus lives in us through his Spirit. And there's a work that his Spirit is doing in us today, and it's anchoring us to all the promises of the new covenant so we can learn to live as new covenant believers.
Right.
That's what this is all about. And when we understand it, life changes for us dramatically. It's not one of those overnight things, but I mean, from what God has done, it's an overnight thing, but from our mind, understanding it, we're growing into that process. And as if Frank Viola said at our conference 220, Christianity is just becoming what we already are in Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what this new covenant is all about, enabling us to become what we already are in Christ Jesus. So what's our prayer for you? What's our prayer for us? What's our prayer for anybody? The writer of Hebrews said it this way: may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Doesn't happen in the old covenant, folks. It doesn't happen through living up to rules and regulations. It only happens by abiding in Christ. It's his work in us that enables us to do what is pleasing to him. And so that's our prayer, that we get anchored to this new covenant, that we live in it, that we rest in it, that we experience it to its full. That's the journey God has called us to. So
yes,
what is this new covenant? Well, we know about the old covenant. The Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, and they had been enslaved to them for almost 400 years. We know the story of Joseph and his brothers and how they sold them into slavery, and the people took him to Egypt, and he came to power and prominence and became the second leading guy in Egypt, overseeing all of the agriculture in that country.
Just a miracle of God.
A miracle of God. His brothers and his family were still in Israel, and a famine came to that land. They had no way to grow crops, to get food, and so Joseph arranged that they would come there to save their lives, to preserve the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Yeah. It was an important act. But they established their families, and they started growing in number and populating Egypt. And Pharaoh finally looked and said, wow, we've got a labor force.
Yeah.
And he seized control of the Israelites. And they became slaves, and they lived that way for 400 years. And then God sent Moses to deliver them, and it was miraculous, a parting of the sea and going through on dry land, escaping, and then looking back and seeing their enemies drown in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And they go to this place, Mount Sinai, and God gives them the Mosaic Covenant. The most critical piece of that was the Ten Commandments, the tablets of stone, and God brought those down. But there were other aspects of the Mosaic Covenant, and that was to govern them for a temporary period of time until the seed, Jesus Christ, would come, and he would establish a new covenant. So we understand law. We don't need spiritual revelation to understand that. We get it, but we need spiritual understanding to know what grace is all about, to know what this new covenant is about. So it came about when Jesus died. He ratified this new covenant, and here's what it is. This is the covenant that I will make. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. Old covenant, external. New covenant, internal. Now, when God writes laws in our minds and on our hearts, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about the laws of faith, hope, and love. He puts in our hearts a willingness, a desire to trust Jesus. He puts in our hearts a hope that anchors us in this world today that can be expressed in love to others. His Spirit teaches our minds about the love of God, tells us about the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God so that we can know and experience it. Those are the things that God's Spirit puts on our hearts, and that's new covenant stuff. That's what happens to us at birth. We've been given a new heart. And then he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. You know, the number one question that's asked on this broadcast is about salvation. And the questions really boil down to is this: how do I know that I'm saved?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, I think I am, but I'm not sure. I'm 95% sure, but there's 5% doubt. And I want to get to 100%. Some others might say, I just have no earthly idea I'm saved at all.
Right.
But in this new covenant, there's assurance. I will be your God. You will be my people. I mean, how much clearer can you get if you're a part of this new covenant? And you are if you've been born again. If you've received Christ, you're a new covenant believer.
Yes, indeed.
And you are a child of God. And he clearly says, I will be your God and you will be my people. But there were boundaries. They couldn't draw near to God. Not even Moses could really draw near to God. It says he had face-to-face meetings, but there were protective measures in those face-to-face meetings to protect Moses. Otherwise, he would have been consumed. He would have just died instantly because Jesus hadn't fulfilled the old. He hadn't taken away sin. He hadn't finished the work yet. So there was no way to truly know God personally and intimately. We understand that today. We try to live up to rules, and we fail. We fall flat on our faces, and God feels a million miles away. We see this distance, this chasm, and it's uncrossable. But in this new covenant, that's not the case. God has come near to us in the person of Christ Jesus. He lives in us. We can't get any closer, and we can know him personally and intimately. It's not just knowledge about him. It's relational knowledge. It's all about relationship. And then he says, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. The foundation, the brick and concrete this new covenant sits upon is this promise that our sins he remembers no more, that we are forgiven people. Mm-hmm. In the old covenant, they weren't. They had provisions to get forgiveness, but those provisions were just annual reminders of sin. They were covered temporarily, but the debt was still unpaid. And that sacrificial system just reminded of it. But it also pointed them forward to a day when the sin issue would be taken care of once and for all. There are no sacrifices in this new covenant. We are not required to bring an animal to sacrifice for forgiveness. The only sacrifices in the new covenant are the sacrifices of the praise that flows from our lips for the work of Jesus Christ. So all of this new covenant sits upon this foundation of forgiveness that Christ brought about through his shed blood on the cross.
Right.
That's the new covenant. Mm-hmm. That's what God has given to us, and that's what Jesus ratified at his death. And it's interesting with this covenant, we sometimes think of it as a contract, like the Mosaic covenant. It was a covenant, but it was a two-party covenant. It was a contract between God and the people of Israel. There were strings attached. There were conditions. If you obey my statutes and commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. So it was conditional. The Israelites had a part to play, but they didn't play it very well. They failed almost immediately after saying, yes, we agree to this. They took all the gold and silver and precious metal and they melted it down and they formed and fashioned a golden calf and they bowed down and worshiped it.
Almost unbelievable.
I know, violated commandment number one. I don't know why God gave 10. You know, he didn't need two tablets. Yeah. He just need one small one with one commandment. Don't commit idolatry. But they broke that and they violated the covenant just right out of the chute. Mm-hmm. But God continued to be faithful to them. God continued to love them. God continued to persevere with them. God continued to endure with them. That's who God is. That's what he does. And if we ever have doubts about that, if we're ever wondering if God is truly interested in us, I think we can just take heart by how God dealt with the people of Israel. He never gave up. Right. He was always there. He was always loving them and being patient with them. His love endured with them from start to finish. And if that's the case for them, how much more can we rely on that today? So this old covenant, it was ended by Jesus, and then this new covenant was ratified. And this new covenant is different from the old covenant in the sense that it's not a contract. It's like a will. You and I have a will, and so we've made decisions about what's going to happen to our assets upon our death. Mm-hmm. And when we die, that will go into effect. That will be effective for those people that we've named in our wills. So for my family, they're going to hear an attorney say, this is the last will and testament of Bob Christopher, and he bequeaths to his wife, and there will be listed things, and to his children, and there will be listed things, and to other beneficiaries, they will be listed things. Now, none of those folks had choices in my will.
Right.
Those were my desires for them, and it's going to be my expression of love to them and what they truly meant to me. Well, this new covenant is God's expression of his love for us, and we had no choice in these particular provisions and promises. That was just his will. And he named us as beneficiaries through faith in Jesus Christ. So this is a will that when we become children of God, then we become heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So everything that God has provided for us becomes ours at that particular moment in time. Mm-hmm. Amazing, as Paul wrote in Ephesians, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Yeah. That's the new covenant. That's the promises and the provisions of this new covenant. So we'll end on these next two passages. So we say, okay, there was this old covenant. Why was there a need for the new? The writer of Hebrews gives us that reason very clearly. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant. So folks, there was something wrong with the first covenant. That sometimes just messes with our minds as believers. How could anything be wrong with that first covenant? I mean, God gave it. It was God given. So how could there be something wrong with what God gave? Well, it wasn't a fault of the covenant. It was the fault of the people. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another, but God found fault with the people. They couldn't live up to the requirements of the covenant. They couldn't live up to the righteous requirements of the law. And guess what? We can't either. We can't live up to those righteous requirements. We can't live up to the old covenant. We sure try. We sure give it our best shot, but we end up just falling flat on our faces. So it wasn't the covenant. It wasn't the laws written on stone that were the problem. It was the yous and the me's. We were the problem. The nation of Israel was the problem. So he said, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant. And I turned away from them, declares the Lord. Yeah. So what was the problem with that first covenant, that Mosaic covenant? It wasn't the tablets of stone. It wasn't the Ten Commandments. It wasn't the other laws. It was the fact that the people did not remain faithful to it. It was a contract. Both parties had obligations. God was certainly faithful to his. He fulfilled his side of the bargain. The people of Israel did not fulfill their side of the bargain. So that was the reason for another one. Of course, this new covenant was always in the mind of God. It was always there. This old covenant was just a temporary arrangement that God had with the people of Israel. Yeah. He was always pointing forward. He had always in mind what we would experience through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why the writer of Hebrews calls this new covenant the eternal covenant. So if you've struggled in your Christian life, if you've fallen flat on your face, you may be feeling a mountain of guilt right now. You may feel condemned. You may feel that God is a million miles away. You may feel that there's no way to bridge that gap between you and the Lord. The more you try, the further away that you feel from Him. You may feel fear that God's going to punish you at any given moment. I want to encourage you today, start on the new covenant journey, to let go of the old and grab hold of the new.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed and that you'll benefit from part one of the New Covenant, the primary ministry focus of Basic Gospel. Tomorrow at this time, I hope you'll join us for part two. As we close today's program, we do so with a reminder that Basic Gospel depends upon you, God's people, our listeners, to be able to remain on the air and online every day with the truth of God's Word. One of the most important ways that we can express our thanks to God for the incomparable blessing He has poured out upon this nation, and by extension to each one of us, is to help ensure that this New Covenant message remains on the air. We are New Covenant, and as a New Covenant ministry, we ask you to continue to help us get the message out to as many people as possible by every means possible. As you make your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we'll say thank you with a gift back to you. It's Bob Christopher's message, Everything You Need for Life and Godliness. In fact, it's everything you need to know about the fullness of the life we have in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To make your gift and request your copy, click donate at basicgospel.net or in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back at the same time tomorrow for part two of The New Covenant. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.